Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading there this evening at verse 13 of that chapter. I'm just going to read two verses there. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And it says there, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this evening that we can come together, not just to socialize, not just to visit and talk about the weather or even talk about politics, but that we can come together for a very important meeting, and that is to study thy word. We're thankful that we have thy word, that thou hast been so gracious to us to keep thy word for us even in this generation, a time of great apostasy, a great falling away. Many people very careless, many people couldn't care less if there is a God or not. They're just living for themselves, and our government, our health officials have taken advantage of this ignorance in the lives of many people, and they have threatened and scared people with their talk of the virus and the number of deaths, and not talking at all about ways that we can be helped through this time, and now pushing these shots on people, and so many people are foolishly taking them. We pray, Father, that people would wake up and see the importance of truth in their lives. I pray that we would be faithful to thee here in proclaiming the truth, and that we can help people to come to know thy peace in their hearts, have thy blessing in their lives, that thy will would be accomplished in their lives, and they could have thy peace now and into eternity. We pray, Father, that thy will would be accomplished here through this study. May we allow thee to direct our thoughts. Pray that no distractions would interfere, but that we would allow thee to teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We began to look at this passage last week, and the thought in verse 13 kind of follows along on the first 12 verses. The title of the message this evening is, Jesus Was Moved with Compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. This week, the legal fight against the ungodly Wuhan virus restrictions claims to have won a small victory. It seems to me that even most of the legal system that claims to be fighting this ungodly system is just playing games. We have been brainwashed for so long in regard to the way that our governments function, the way that our courts function, that things take such a long time, it's such a slow and tedious process, and very little gets accomplished at any time with regard to the things that are being done. And so while we maybe got a slight victory in the courts right now, there could be a much greater victory if people would just wake up and realize what the truth is and what the lie is. I'm thankful that we that are saved don't have to rely on these corrupt systems for our hope. We don't have to nibble around the edges and try to find some little bit of help that might get us through another day. We have the Word of God, which is truth. And we can study it and we can know the full truth at any time and all the time. And that's very important for us to understand as we go through our lives, that we can know the truth. We don't have to be fumbling around. We don't have to be scared. We can have God's peace and blessing in our lives at all times through the Word of God, through the truth that is in the Word of God. And so as we look at these verses tonight, just these two verses, we see there in verse 13 says, and when Jesus heard of it, that's referring back to the death, the murder of John the Baptist. Herod the king had been involved in adultery. He had married his brother Philip's wife, which is unlawful for a man to marry someone else's wife while he's still alive and they're divorced, and that's biblically wrong. And that's a law that goes higher than the land, than the law of any land. And that's important for us to understand, that God's law is higher than any law of man. So we want to look, first of all, our first point is Jesus' response to the murder of John the Baptist. Jesus' response to the murder of John the Baptist. This was not a minor thing that happened. It was, John was a faithful servant of God, but King Herod didn't like him because he had told him that it was not lawful what he had done. King Herod's adulterous wife didn't like John, and so on Herod's birthday, she arranged that her daughter would dance before Herod and lure him with lust. And because of that, he was foolish enough to offer her anything that she wanted. And what she was told by her mother to ask for is the head of John the Baptist. And Herod, being a typical politician, made a foolish choice and was too proud to realize, I made a mistake, I was wrong, I shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that. He went along with it, and he had John beheaded. And so Jesus now, in these verses, this is just after that, and it tells us when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So Jesus shows us here, as the eternal Son of God, how we should deal with opposition as well. Jesus had the power to do many miracles. We read about that in our text. Later on in the chapter, we're going to see that Jesus is going to feed 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a major miracle that Jesus did there. And in our text, he was going to heal people, as we mentioned already, but he did not deal with Herod here after the murder of John the Baptist. He departed. He went off by himself, took the disciples, I think he took them with him, and other passages tell us that, into a desert place apart. And you see, there are times when we need to speak up, there are times when we need to let people know what they've done is wrong, and there are times when we just need to let them grovel in their sin. And that's what Herod had the opportunity to do here. He had done wrong. He was guilty of murder, plus many other things. And now he had to live with that. Can you imagine living in a house where your wife is willing to scheme to have another man that she doesn't like murdered? Can you imagine living in a household where her daughter is willing to dance in a way before a man to cause that man to lust after her? And then to ask for the head of this man. What kind of a cold-hearted people King Herod was living with? Of course, he was very cold-hearted himself. And so he had to live with that. He could have turned to God and asked for forgiveness, but he was far too proud for that. And so he had to live with that for a while. Eventually, he would die. He would be judged by God, and he is in torment today for all of eternity, because he made some very foolish choices, rejecting God being the main one. And then, after making that foolish choice, then making other foolish choices, which just added to his guilt and to his sin. In the Bible, we read of, we've been looking at in our study in the book of Judges, we studied Samson. And Samson was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He was never to cut his hair as part of his Nazarite vow. His strength was not in his hair. His strength was in the Spirit of God that moved upon him from time to time. The Bible tells us that. But the length of his hair was a symbol of the fact that he was a Nazarite, that he was supposed to be separated unto God. And when Samson defied God and despised God and allowed his hair to be cut, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left him because he had despised God. The hair was just the symbol, just the picture. But his heart was the issue. He had defied God and thought that it was no big deal. He could still do whatever he had been doing before. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was not just an ordinary man. He was and is the eternal Son of God. He didn't have long hair. He didn't live under a Nazarite vow. He was and he is the eternal Son of God. He withdrew to a desert place not because he was scared of Herod, but because he needed to spend time with his heavenly Father. He left heaven's glory, and when he did that, he set aside his glory. He still knew what was in the hearts of men. He still knew many things that the normal man did not know. But he also was dependent during his earthly ministry upon his Father to strengthen him and to encourage him in his life on earth as the eternal Son of Man. And so he departed into a desert place. The Bible says he went by ship to this desert place. And it tells us that the people, they followed him on foot out of the city. So the second thing that we see here is that people are hungry. People are hungry. That's still true today. There's a man that some of us know. His name is Rick Warren. He's been in the news in the past more than in recent years, but he's the pastor of a church. It's really a social club called Saddleback. And he's been the pastor of that for 42 years. He started when he was 25. He's 67 now. And he has announced this week that he's going to retire. So they're looking for a replacement for him. And according to the news reports, this Saddleback religion has grown to 14 locations. And it has an international following. It has a weekly attendance of 30,000 people. And some 11 million people are following him on social media. 11 million people. That's almost one-third of the population of Canada, if we take it in numbers. Canada has a population of about 36 million people. He has 11 million people following him on social media. That's a lot of people that this man has been influencing for 42 years. He was involved in recent years in what's known as Chrislam, which is trying to unite Christianity and Islam, which is a heresy, can never happen. But he was involved in that, in pushing that. He's an ungodly man, but he has a big following. And he has had a lot of influence over people. He shows us, and his followers show us, that people are hungry. They're looking for something. The sad reality is that they don't know what they're looking for, and they're not allowing God to lead them to the truth. That's the sad reality. That's the problem facing most people today, as it was even in Jesus' day, where the people were hungry. They were tired of the Pharisees' false teaching. They knew that the Pharisees were a facade. And they realized that when Jesus came to this earth and when he was teaching, that he taught with authority. He didn't teach like the Pharisees and scribes. He knew the truth, and he taught as if he knew the truth, because he is the truth. And so when he was on this earth, he gave the people the truth, and of course that offended the Pharisees, and Jesus was different. And the people were hungry, so they went on foot. He went by ship, but they went by foot out of the city trying to find out where Jesus is. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus said of the people, he said, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So Jesus understood the people weren't interested in him for the truth. They were interested for what he could do. In this case, Jesus said it wasn't the miracles in general that they were interested in, it was the food. And we know that people generally, if you have a free meal somewhere, people will flock to it. They will come in droves, and they will try and get as much of that free food as they can. They have no respect for the person that's hosting the thing. They just figure, well, it's free, I'm going to take as much as I can get. So they kind of are gluttons in a case like that. But here we see that the people were hungry. And the problem was that they didn't know what they were looking for. And so few of them were interested in the truth, and many of them were just as we find in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 4, where God said to Daniel at that time, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And that's the time that we're living in today, where many people are seeking for something new, something different. We're not just running around on this earth. We're exploring outer space. We're looking. We have the space station out there that's been out there for a long time. We're looking for something. And of course, modern man, secular man, lost man thinks that there are aliens out there and that we need to communicate with them and that we need to be friendly with them so that they don't come and invade us. Well, that's a bunch of garbage, but that's what man thinks. There are devils out there, there's no doubt about that, that are influencing a lot of people. But God created man on this earth, and that's the only place where God created human beings. So there are no aliens, there are no half-man, half-animal creatures out there somewhere. Man is on this earth, and rather than trying to find some other place to live, what we ought to do is be seeking the truth and learning how to live on this earth and to have God's peace and be able to help others to know God's peace as well. That's the purpose of this church, is to help the hungry, the spiritually hungry. We don't run a soup kitchen. But we want to help the spiritually hungry to know God's forgiveness, to know God's peace, and to have God's blessing in their lives. People today are just as hungry. They're following all kinds of false teachers. We talked about Rick Warren. There's Joseph Prince. There's Kenneth Copeland. There's Joyce Myers and Beth Moore. There are all kinds of false teachers out there that people are following after because they're hungry. They're looking for something. But few of them are allowing God to direct them to the truth. That's the sad reality. And that's why we need to be here. That's why we need to be broadcasting. That's why we have our website. That's why we need to be visiting with people and talking to them and seeking to encourage people to find the answer to what they're looking for. And the answer is found in turning to God in repentance and trusting in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. So then we see also in this passage, thirdly, we see that we need to be moved with compassion. Those that are saved need to be different than the world. There needs to be something different that motivates us than what motivates the world. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to save sinners. And in our text, it says in verse 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Jesus saw a great multitude. He saw the real need that was there. He was different than secular people, different than the Pharisees. What the Pharisees saw is they saw a bunch of people that they wanted to milk for whatever they could get out of them. They wanted to lead them around like lost sheep. And they wanted the people to have to depend upon them for everything. They were very much like our government officials today. They want us to be dependent upon them for everything. That's why they're trying to bring in a minimum wage for everyone. They're going to put everyone on a set salary, set monthly wage. And that'll be your money. That's why one of the great reset is you will own nothing and you'll be happy. Because they want us to be dependent upon the government. Jesus didn't come to try to rob people. He didn't come to try to steal from people. He didn't come to try to make people all a bunch of cripples. He came to set the captive free. And so he saw this crowd of people, this great multitude, and the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. He cared about the souls of the people. And that should be the case for every true child of God. We should care about the souls of people. Today we have so-called faith healers who really can't do anything except put on a show. Some of them work underneath the power of the devil, and the devil is able to do signs and wonders. And if a person goes to one of these faith healers and doesn't get so-called healed, then the faith healer blames the recipient and said, you don't have enough faith, that's your problem. Jesus here, he healed the multitudes. Most of these people would be the same people who would cry out later on, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't believe in him for salvation, but he healed them. He did that because he proved to the people that he was the Messiah. That's why he healed so many people. It was beyond question. Nobody in that time should have had any doubts as to who Jesus was. And yet they did. They rejected him as the Messiah, and they didn't believe in him as the eternal Son of God. They still had some faith in the Pharisees. Sad thing. The Pharisees, they didn't need to prove that they were the Messiah. That's why they couldn't do miracles. That's one of the reasons. They couldn't do miracles because they were lost, but it wasn't up to them. It wasn't God's design for them to do miracles. The apostles, they did miracles because, again, during the time of the apostles, the scriptures were not completed. And so there were false teachers around. There were the Pharisees, there were the Judaizers, there were all kinds of false teachers around. And how would the people know who they should follow? And so one of the things that God gave to help people to know who to follow until the scriptures were complete was that the apostles could do signs and wonders. And the people could know these are the true men of God. Today, these faith healers that go around and claim to be able to heal people, they're frauds. We don't have to prove anything. People today can read their Bibles. They can examine everything that we say by the Word of God. I don't need to prove anything by doing signs and wonders. I just need to teach the truth, and if someone wants to question me, they can look into the Bible and see if what I'm saying is true or not. And they can ask me as well if where I get my ideas from, where I get my teaching from, and so on. And I can show them from the Word of God. At least I should be able to. If I can't, well, then I'm making it up. But that's what the Pharisees were doing. They had made it up. And the people were tired of them. And they were coming to Jesus, but they were coming for his miracles. It tells us in verse 14, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus had a concern for the physical well-being of the people, but we find many times as Jesus would heal people, he would tell them to go and sin no more. He had more of an interest in the people than just healing them. He also didn't heal them just to try to get money from them. He didn't ask anything of them. He just wanted to be a blessing to people. And the greatest blessing that Jesus can be to anyone is when they recognize him as their Savior and turn to him in repentance and ask for forgiveness and are saved through the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. That's the greatest blessing that any person can receive. And the healing that is most important, Jesus here, it says he healed their sick, and he did. But the healing that is most important is the healing of the soul that we all need, that being set free from condemnation, having God's forgiveness in our hearts, that's the healing that we need to have. That's the one that the charismatics have distorted, and they claim that when Jesus was on the cross in Isaiah chapter 53, by his stripes we're healed, and they claim that that healing that it talks of there is the fact that no true Christian should be sick. That's not what those verses talk about. They talk about the healing of the soul. That's what we need. We need to be set free from the condemnation that we are born under. By his stripes we are healed. And so Jesus has the ability, he has the power to save the sinner. He has the power to make him whole physically, but more importantly, he has the power to set the sinner free from that bondage to sin. And that's the important thing that Jesus came for. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And so, in order for man to know God's blessing, he needs to know God's forgiveness. And unless we have that forgiveness in our hearts, we don't know that peace in our lives. And then we too will be wandering around just like the disciples were. At this point, they were running after Jesus, but they didn't accept him as the Messiah. And later on, they would cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then some of them would later on get saved through the preaching of the apostles, and they would finally know that peace and forgiveness that comes only through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." It's talking about a spiritual healing. Jesus healed the people physically in our text, but his desire was to show them the need to know his forgiveness in their hearts. And that's why he spent so much time with the people. That's why he took the time for the people, as we see in our text, even though he was leaving the city because of the death of John the Baptist. He went to spend some time in the desert place, but the people followed him. And Jesus didn't chase them away. You remember that his disciples, they wanted to chase the people away. But Jesus didn't chase the people away. He made time for the people because he had compassion upon them. He wanted people to know his forgiveness and to know his peace in their hearts. And that's the great need that man has today. So anyone that's listening today that's lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that's what your need is today. You need Jesus healing in your heart. You need the forgiveness of sin. You need to know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's available through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross for you and I, and made it possible for us to be forgiven. But it's up to us, it's up to the individual to choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he offers that to us today. Some that are listening have turned to the Lord, they have been saved. Others that are listening may not have done that yet. But God offers that to you today. The time is running out for each one of us. And the time for this time in history is running out. There's a time coming soon, according to what we're seeing in our world. We don't have a day, we don't have an hour. But I believe God is giving us warning signs, and he's also purifying his own at this very present time. For that time that's coming, that's known in the Bible as the time of the tribulation. The time when the Antichrist is going to be ruling, the time when the Antichrist is going to be forcing all people, more so than we see today, where our premier now is doing all that he can to try to force people to take this shot. Not just the first one, but get the second one. Yet the evidence is out there that these shots are dangerous. And there are other methods that work far better than these shots do. But he's trying to force people to take these shots. Well, the Antichrist will force all people to take his mark. That won't be an option. The saved people that get saved during the tribulation, many of them will be killed because they will not take that mark. At least we're not at that place right now. So far, our government has not threatened to kill anyone because we don't take the shot. But they are threatening to limit our mobility and stop us from going to certain places. But that's okay. I'd rather know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and know that I have a home in heaven than to have to be a slave to an ungodly and wicked government that couldn't care less about me, really, and just wants to push its own agenda upon society. So we have an opportunity before us today that Jesus is the compassionate one. He's the one who cares about man, and he's the one who wants to see people know his forgiveness. And if you're listening today and you don't know God's forgiveness in your heart, why not turn to him today and ask him to forgive you and save you, to know his peace and to have his blessing in your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time together. We're thankful again that we can come together to study thy word. Thankful for the freedom that we have in this country yet to get together as we are. And we do pray for our officials that they might repent, that they might see the wickedness that's in their hearts in trying to interfere with thy work. Help us to understand where our laws come from, who we need to obey first and foremost, and that we would be willing to help others to realize when they have stepped out of bounds with thy law. We're not saved by law-keeping. We're set free once we are saved, when we start to follow thy laws, free from the bondage that we were in as sinners, lost sinners. Thankful for that forgiveness that we can have, for that peace we can have. And we just pray that thy will would be accomplished in each one that's listening today. We pray, Father, that we would be able to help others to know thy forgiveness and have thy blessing in their hearts and lives. That thy will would be accomplished in each person's life that's listening. That we would be those that are at peace with thee. And if we're not, that we would desire that peace today. Allow thee to show us the way of peace through repentance toward thee and faith toward thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that forgiveness of sin and have that peace in their hearts. We pray, Father, if there's someone that's seeking that truth today, that's being led of thee to come to the truth. Pray, Father, that they might seek out that truth. We're thankful that we are here to help people. We pray that people might be able to contact us and we could show them that peace that they could have in their hearts and that they could glorify thee instead of serving the flesh and the devil. So we thank thee for this time. May thy will be accomplished in each heart and life. And may we glorify thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.